B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
5 is Sports Up. It's Dutcher and Rich. We got Hardy and Joe Murray in the studio. I mean, Telfair Tire Studio, of course.
I solved a mystery in here, Rich.
What is that?
We're listening to the lyrics intently, and as the gentleman proclaimed that we would hang the bear from the Liberty Tree.
Okay.
He said, "What the hell's a Liberty Tree?" And I put, like, Liberty Tree Mall? Is that Danvers? Like, what is it? The Liberty Tree is a famous elm tree that stood near Boston Common.
Yep.
In the years before the American Revolution.
Which everyone knows, of course.
I grew up here. Joe grew up, you know, never heard of
never
the Liberty.
Never in my life.
Never once.
The Liberty Tree Mall.
Well, nope. It was a rallying point for the growing resistance to the rule of Britain over the American colonies, boys.
Thank you, Robert.
The only reason I know of the existence of the Liberty Tree is because a couple of blocks away from where I live, apparently there's a plaque that commemorates where it was that you have to be like 20 feet tall to even be able to see because it's way at the top of this building. And I'm like, it's been one of those things where I've just been standing in an intersection. I've looked up like, what the hell is this? Here lies where the Liberty Tree was. And I'm like, I don't even know. So when they say this right here, I was yesterday when we talked about New England, the Patriots, and I became obsessed with that song in that video. So I went and I rewatched it yesterday. As bad as you remember it being, it's 10 times worse. So as we were talking about yesterday, you know, everyone knows, 1985, the Bears, the Super Bowl shuffle was everywhere. I mean, MTV played it. It made a lot of these guys superstars, not just obviously on the football field, but in pop culture. Vince, you know, or Jim McMahon, everyone had the headband and everything. And of course, everyone loved the fridge. And to be quite honest, the response that the Patriots had was really kind of... an exact replica of the way that the Super Bowl ended that year. It was an ass-kicking. Like, the Patriots said, oh, you know what? We're going to do our own little thing, which basically looked like it was filmed on, like, the crappiest of handheld cameras. We're going to, you know, instead of you guys having, like, this, like, super cool rap song, and back at the day, like, the super, you know, high-quality MTV-type graphics, we're going to give you Glenn Ordway, Robert Urich, and a bunch of really bad lines that you can't even understand. Like, half of the stuff that they put there. The one thing about this, too, I mean, it's so great. They throw a fake refrigerator with a number 72 into the water. None of the players seem to be into it. And it goes on forever. It's like 5 minutes long.
It's a little long, but listen, I don't think you're doing it justice, your obsession. You say you were obsessed with it. Yes. I actually, the first time I heard this, created my own tour company where we would take you to all the places where the song was recorded and featured. So, you know, we start in that actual recording studio. It was in Alston. And then ding, ding, next stop, the Capitol building. And then we go down there where that scene takes place. And then there's that random shot like on a street somewhere. I don't know. I just picked one for that. I just drove him into Rozzy. I said, "Oh, here's where this was shot, right in front of the Greek deli here." Right. You know, we just go for, and then you go to Faneuil Hall, and you say, "Oh, this is where they were. This is the firehouse where they stood outside." And yeah, we are. It didn't get a lot of signups. We folded within the first week, but I thought it was a good idea that maybe it was just before its time. That's
well,
all.
Well, one of the I think my favorite part of the whole video, and there's a million great scenes. It was the most awful response to anything in pop culture that I've seen.
Is it the ginger standing there with the nanas? Like the random redheaded kid standing there with like the four grandmothers?
And like the grandmothers don't want to be there. Yeah. They're like, how do we get to, like, it was like the son of the production guy, like one of the cameramen, just, dude, we need to fill in some space.
Right.
No, there is, did you notice that halfway through the video, they gave some of the players MTV hats to wear as almost they were begging to get on MTV because
I
the
just
Bears
saw
had
that.
One
I'm
other.
Watching it back right
ooh,
now.
Ooh, it's just out of all the moments that are embarrassing, the fact that they just were basically begging MTV to put them on by giving them all MTV hats was just astounding. And there's like a skit at the beginning of the video where some newscaster that I'm probably supposed to know who he is, it's like some old guy at the beginning goes like, "Hey, we got a bunch of bears here," and it's like he's holding a teddy bear and everyone goes boo, and then he goes, "But now we're gonna shoot it," and he puts like a gun up to the bear and this fake crowd goes yay, and then they go right to the fake recording studio where they're holding their hands on the ear because no one's ever been able to sing a song in the studio without holding the headset while they were singing it, because that actually gives them more feeling.
Well, if you watch the Brady Bunch, you know that's how it's done with the "girl, look what you've done to me." You know, we all learned that from an early age. Dan, if you have me turned up over here, Dan can probably identify this person just by voice alone.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, do you know who this is?
Is this the guy?
Yeah. But you would have to.
Before New England, buries the bear.
Is that the news guy? Can you do it?
V66 has just brought you one of your last chances to see Chicago.
So, guys, V66 was a local MTV knockoff.
Yeah.
That was on, Fox 25 used to be Channel 25, and then there was Channel 56. And
wasn't that for like just Boston people, though?
It was just local.
Yeah, I remember this.
So they had, David O'Leary was one of the guys on there, but Arnie Woo Ginsburg, V66 played videos.
This guy looks like an Arnie Ginsburg. I don't know.
Okay. He passed away. I mean,
describe what Arnie Ginsburg looks like, the guy in my monitor right now.
Someone you would buy a used car from, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that was 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Yeah, I mean, I think he passed away recently.
There you go.
Isn't this the station that Chachi had, "Your Mother's on the Roof"? It was like, didn't he have like his own talk show on there back in the day? V66?
He might have, Rich, yeah. It was a local, they weren't a cable station, right, Joe?
Yeah, I think they played Take On Me. I know people think MTV did that for, I don't know why, but I just remember
they were a local. No, I mean, they were
a
local video.
First play "Take On Me." "Take On Me" was a huge video that I'm sure that MTV played before V66.
I read about Arnie Ginsburg when he died. He was a big deal,
a very big deal,
like a big like radio all over the city and like everyone. Yeah. I mean, I only don't know who he is because I've lived here a long time, but not while he was still doing stuff on the radio. Okay. That's Arnie Ginsburg.
That is him, and that is him with the teddy bear at the beginning of the video. But I just want to know, like, the best is how they try to jam in, like, little things that they say after the New England, the Patriots are we, and I can't understand half of them. Like, what's this first one here? John Dennis tune being sung right
biggest
there.
Biggest news in the whole country.
So I don't know if you guys were here in 1996. The Patriots went back to the Super Bowl, and there was this whole jambalaya campaign. I'm sure Dan will remember this. But I forget what station did it in town, but they tried to make like a rap song for like the Patriots going to the Super Bowl.
Always a good idea.
And the song that they used was boom, 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 go, you know, basically the lyrics were boom, 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 Patriots going all the way, oh, way, oh. And it was just, I mean, I think it was better than what happened, you know, back in 85. And I think I can quote the lyrics to that song. I think it was Bledsoe, Martin, Glennon, Slade, Patriots, they got it made. Will McGinnis sets the blitz. Curtis Martin runs it in for six. I think it had like something to do like that, but Jambalaya was a big deal in 1996.
I'm now looking at this again, and not only are they wearing MTV hats, a couple of the guys are wearing big-ass MTV logo shirts. I mean, they're just, it's one of the saddest begging, just please put us on MTV, because the rest of the world is watching the Bears. And we're being embarrassed. And to that I just said, well, this is even more an embarrassment. You're adding to the embarrassment by submitting this, what seems like an eternity-long video. I mean, so they, for the first minute, have a verse. But the last 4 minutes of this are that same line over and over and over again. It's just, it never ends. Oh, it's so good. It's such a great, like, moment in time done horribly. It's like, I can't think of anything. And as you said, you know who like some of these old anchors are. I don't know who they are, but man, it is just like, let's get every local celebrity and think that we could because we have Robert Urich, star of a very mediocre cop show. The world's just going to stop and MTV is going to play our video. Yeah. God, this is the best.
Now I've gone down the Arne Ginsberg rabbit hole. One article about him. And again, I read the thing about him. He's the guy at the beginning of this video said, if he played a show or played a song on his show, it would make that record a hit. And record companies used to ask him to do commercials for the songs. So this guy was like Oedipus before Oedipus. He was out there like, hey.
Isn't that the definition of like payola?
I'll make a deal with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's something that's illegal.
Back in the day, it wasn't. Yeah.
Oedipus, you want to participate in this Pick the Hit compilation? Well, sure, because when I play the song, every other alternative station in the country is going to play the song, and I'll win a BMW.
Absolutely.
Which
he did twice. Yeah, but my obsession with this, I was watching it several different times yesterday. I was actually pulling my like wife aside. Like, hey, look at this. She's like, I don't know what you find funny about this. Like, everything. All right. Well, let's get to some of the stuff that happened last night. We knew it was going to happen, but unfortunately, the Celtics have caused chaos in their path. The Sixers are now in shambles, and we'll get to their matchup with the Raptors and some updates from what happened yesterday at Patriots camp right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy and Joe Murray here in studio. Well, after this, we all knew it was coming.
What do you think the issue is with this team? I mean, do you think it's the way it's built? Do you think it's coaching? Do you think it's the bad luck with the injuries? All of the above? What would you say the issue is? Because, you know, like Brett may...
That's a very stupid question. There's no issue. We good. We just didn't win. We came out. We couldn't make shots. The whole series, it's frustrating. You know, I felt like everybody played hard. We tried. Shots just didn't fall. And then at times, defense was not good. We all tried. And we could have done more. I could have done more. But like I said, that was a stupid question. There's no issue. There was a lot of stuff going on. And you just, you know, live and learn.
No, the question doesn't seem so stupid now because people are getting fired. That's Joel Embiid, by the way. He's more than likely hundreds of miles away from Disney World after his Sixers got swept by the Celtics. And Coach Brett Brown, he ended up being the sacrificial lamb, fired as head coach. And apparently things aren't stopping there. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, there are expected to be more moves coming within the team's front office as well. Now, despite a team that was obviously struggling internally, Philly was a mess on the court all season long as well. Reports have indicated that players openly challenged Brett Brown over his game plans throughout the season. There are also said to be trust issues between the coach and his players, who felt that Brown didn't hold the players accountable. I know one thing that Brown has been blamed for is the disappearance of Al Horford. Apparently the front office is frustrated that they spent so much money on the guy, and Brett Brown just couldn't figure out a way to make it work. Even Al himself reportedly was frustrated because this is the first time since, I believe, his rookie year that Al was not a consistent starter. Just a side note, I know that Horford was bad this year. I don't think he should have been that bad. I don't think there's really a doubt that in some way he was either misused or unmotivated. Don't you feel that? Because I don't see a drop-off that drastic from one year to the next when he so obviously went into a situation where there was chaos and there was uncertainty and it just wasn't a good environment for a player to, I guess, be his best, you know? The kind of the credit that Brad Stevens ends up getting is that he brings out the best in players. You knew that when he was going to go to the Sixers, things were going to be off, but I don't think he's as bad as we saw there on the court past year.
And I think it also speaks to the, like, this, I don't want to call it a fable or an outright myth, but maybe the overemphasis on talent trumping all else in the NBA. You still need some type of leadership. You don't have to have the greatest X's and O's coaching mind of all time to make it work, but you still need something at the top to dictate how guys are going to fill their roles, who's going to be who, who's going to do what, and then... Yeah, and then if you've got enough talent, you can roll the balls out there and see what happens. But there still needs to be some element of leadership there. And without that, that's obviously lacking there. And they feel the same way there in Philadelphia.
Well, they tried. I mean, listen, they failed on, or they whiffed on Al Horford. Like, was Al Horford a leader in Boston? Some people might think he was, maybe on the
court. I'm talking about from a coaching level.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're looking at Jay Wright, and again, we talked about this yesterday, that college to NBA thing. They might need someone better. They have two big personalities on that team. They probably have to move on from Simmons.
Well, that's the weird thing too. It's like if you've got some personality and some egos to deal with, you don't bring in a college coach.
Yeah.
College coaches are used to these guys. You do what I say. You have to. You're a student athlete. Now, you may only be here for a year or two until you go to the NBA. Yeah. But until that happens, I'm still the guy around here.
Yeah. Although, I guess to the reasoning that you would bring in a guy like that, and I think that one reason that Ainge like Stevens is that, when you are around college students, you identify with them a little more. You can speak their language. And Brett Brown, they said, was just so disconnected with the way these guys thought and the way these guys acted and just seemed completely out of touch. So even if you have an older guy who's been coaching in college, he's still a little bit more in touch with how to deal with these personalities, like a younger personality when you have a younger team. Now, I saw Jay Wright. I saw that report yesterday, too, and I knew it. I should have called it yesterday. I'm like, I guarantee you someone's going to say bring in Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue's name just gets brought up every time there needs to be any kind of search for a coach, and right now he's helping with Doc Rivers. Tyronn Lue is a perfect doormat. Like, he's a guy that if you just need someone that you want the players to call what happens, then fine. Bring him on in. But he is not going to be a guy that's going to be able to control what's going on right now with the 76ers. I can't see that there being any kind of success if you bring him in. They do need a guy who comes in and commands respect. Now, I don't know if you heard about this. This is nutty, but I mean, they're saying, according to like Shams Charania, who is fairly connected, probably up second only to Adrian Wojnarowski, he knows what's going on in the league. Did you hear who the Nets are thinking about going after as their coach?
No.
Greg Popovich.
Yeah, but why would he leave San Antonio? Well, listen, the Nets is set up very well. And Popovich probably can coach all, you know, those things
right now. Why would Popovich want to deal with two of the biggest divas in the NBA right now? Why would you want to trade? I mean, obviously, he's very comfortable there. And he's a guy who is, you know, almost his entire professional coaching career, he's had some sort of rock there on his team. Tim Duncan was the quiet leader. He's everything you want in, as a coach. You know, he's one of these guys that shows, you know, it's words, you know, deeds, not words. Gets out there, leads by example. And you have two of the most thin-skinned players in the NBA now on the Nets in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Are they wildly talented? Of course. Are they two of the better talents in the NBA? Absolutely. But why would Greg Popovich want to go in there with two guys who are just absolutely obsessed with themselves?
Yeah.
And everything outside of actual basketball play, they are obsessed with. Now, and on top of that, San Antonio is kind of a nice place to live. Like, the cost of living's like low. He's the king. Like, he could run for king of San Antonio and Greg Popovich would win. Yeah. Like, I mean, they should just make, like, you know, a giant statue in the middle of town. Like, him and David Robinson. And those two guys would basically, they could run for, like, lord of San Antonio and they would win. But why would you trade all that and go to New Jersey, apparently, or Brooklyn, rather? Apparently, I guess he's not 100% sold on sticking around once his contract is up, and they think there's a real chance for a team to swoop in. And I mean, it would be the biggest contract of all time in basketball. There's no question. Yeah. They'd have to just throw as much money as you possibly could to get him to go there. But at least that's kind of an inspired way of thinking, you know, because I'd never even thought of him leaving until apparently, I guess, there have been some sort of subtle things that have been thrown out there that shows that he might end up leaving. But that Sixers team there, I don't know how you can continue with both of those two guys up there.
Yeah,
with Simmons and
if I was them, I would ship Simmons to, you know, Golden State and get that number two pick. I know you're gonna, you know, they don't need the shooting there, and it's probably a good fit, and I think you try to build it up again, you know, through the draft, because they've already tried to sign guys like Harris, who's decent, and Horford's been a bust. But I don't know. The guys I look at is probably Jason Kidd. He's right now on the bench. He's the assistant coach for the Lakers right now. And I don't know. I always just think of Phil Jackson in those type of situations. Like, would he ever want to coach both Simmons and Embiid to try to make that thing work? Like, that's a tandem. Like, if he's going to come out of retirement, that might be something where he could take over. Like, legitimately take over the draft. But you have two studs there. Say whatever you want about those two players. That's a destination. Tyronn Lue, I think he's the fit with the Nets because of what you said. He's a stepping stone. And yeah, he's got probably a relationship with some of those guys.
Yeah, bring in Stan Van Gundy and just let Embiid walk on.
What about Jeff Van Gundy?
I don't even know anymore whether he'd be good. I like him too much on TV. Like, I like Jeff Van Gundy on TV. I think
Mark
Jackson
too. I think he could be a good coach.
Oh, Mark Jackson sucks.
No,
he's
dude,
awful.
Everywhere he's like the Tony Dungy of basketball. He goes somewhere, they leave, and they win. Like,
that's right.
That's, no, but I think he's at least a good start. You know what I mean?
But they don't need that right now.
No, like, you can't win unless you get him there first and then fire him and then you win after that.
right. Maybe that's the deal. You get him in there, you sign him to a one-year contract, and then you fire him, and then immediately they'll find success. I mean, it's true. Like, the second he... I don't know if you saw that awesome Twitter beef between Mark Jackson and George Karl. Oh, it was great. Because Karl makes a good point. It was like, how does it feel that the second you left the Warriors, they became a dynasty? And it's true! And like, listen, I'm not speaking out of school because I think he's spoken publicly about it. But you remember when Brian Scalabrine was a assistant coach under Mark Jackson for Golden State? I've heard he has intimated, put it that way. I don't want to put words in his mouth, that Mark Jackson was not a good guy to work with. And apparently he did not have the respect of a lot of the players as well. And look what happened. As soon as you put Steve Kerr in there, immediately they gel and they become, and they had the same, pretty much the same talent. I mean, I believe it was almost the exact same team from one year to the next, outside, of course, that was before they got Durant, that won the championship. But yeah, Mark Jackson, no. If you, and by the way, Mark Jackson, I don't even think is a good play-by-play.
You don't like hand down, man down?
Hand down, man down. As Beyonce says, to the left, to the left. No, I can't. I can't. Mark Jackson, as you would say, Joe Murray, ouch on Mark Jackson. All right, well, let's get to the Bruins, and of course, however everything went yesterday at Patriots camp. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Now, for Touch of Rich. Touch of Rich. Touch of Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a copy of PGA Tour 2K21 for PS4 or Xbox One. Play against the pros. Play with your crew. In PGA Tour 2K21, you can play by the rules or create your own. Now available at PGATour.com. I'm sorry, PGATour.2K21.com. That's coming up at 6:50. I know, Hardy, you're a big golfer. Do you play any of those the games, the PGA games?
No.
You haven't played any of those?
No. I probably would, but it's the weirdest thing. My kids care so little for video games. They play one. They play the Sonic Racing game, and that's it. We have an old Xbox 360, like left over from, I don't know, maybe even the BCN days. I don't know. We used it like for an event. Whatever. It's okay. And we play Sonic Racing on it, and that's it. If they were into video games at all, I would pick up a golf game and probably play it. But they don't care. They don't care.
I saw that. Well, by the way, my kids they're into this thing called Roblox, which is one of those games that is.
Oh, my God.
It's like every kid's like playing this
okay,
now.
Okay, so, yeah, I shouldn't say they don't care about video games because my daughter especially desperately cares about Roblox. Now, not to get off on a tangent, the only thing that I know that she does on this thing is she builds like this virtual home. That's what she does on Roblox. Her and her friends, they build houses and then they like visit each other's houses. That's what they do on Roblox.
So there's like obviously like a zillion games, and I'm just kind of now learning about it. But I unfortunately had, you know, my son's birthday's coming up, and he asked me if I could buy him some Robux for his birthday. And Robux are like, you hear about this with Fortnite, and I've heard a million horror stories. So the minute he asked me that, I'm like, oh boy, what road are we going down now? It's where you actually spend real money so they can just buy like cool suits and stuff and like have
buy virtual things.
Yeah, buy virtual things. Now, I don't know if you heard the Kendrick Perkins story, but Kendrick Perkins told a story about how he gave his son, or he didn't give his son a credit card. What happened was you can put your credit card information into like one of the games, and you know they can go and buy like you know a new outfit or something or a new gun or for one of the games. And he had done that just thinking, all right, I put it in here and he can buy the one thing that he wanted. But his son continued to buy stuff on it, and Kendrick Perkins said that his son racked up $30,000 worth of charges on Fortnite. $30,000. And in the end, really, what do you have to account for it? It's not like a new game. It's just, hey, you got like a super cool clothes you're wearing. Look, hey, you're wearing like a football uniform. Hey, you got a basketball jersey running around. Like, that's where the money goes to. So for the first time, my son asked me if he could have like these Robux, and I'm like, dude, I got to learn a lot about this to figure out how the F I monitor whether this stuff is being sent, how I can approve every single purchase, because I guarantee you there's people who have just gone, okay, and they've forgotten about it, and then their kid will just go, would you like to buy it? Yes! And they think that they're just getting it for free. But Kendrick said that he went to go use his credit card somewhere, and like he got it, like it wouldn't take. It got denied. He's like, I'm Kendrick Effin Perkins. I made a lot of money. Why is my credit card being denied? And it was because because thankfully the bank had seen that there were just a ton of charges at one place and they shut it down, and it was $30,000. Now, I don't know if you have any kind of recourse on whether you can get any of that back, but I mean, I just, that was like the one story that I thought about the minute he asked for that. So I've not done it yet. I have to learn a little bit more about how to not get completely screwed.
Well, I bet every one of us has something that is a recurring charge on your credit card that you just kind of forget about. And I decided I was going to do some belt tightening in the pool household recently. And I went and I took like the monthly credit card statement, which you barely even look at anymore. But I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm like walking around the house, right? I'm like, who spent $140 at Wegmans? Marcy's like, yeah, the food that you eat, dummy. I'm like, okay, that's accounted for. And I'm crossing things off, and I get to like the Roblox thing. I'm like, what the hell is this? And they're automatic renewals for that and for Animal Jam. Your kids, did they ever play Animal Jam, Rich?
Animal Crossing, not Animal Jam.
Animal Jam is some other like online kid community thing. And apparently at some point I just said, fine, do it. And I allowed like some special membership thing, and it re-upped. They haven't played Animal Jam in God knows how long, but it's like, sure enough, $30 showed up on my credit card like last month from Animal Jam. I'm like, now I got to figure out how to get back into Animal freaking Jam and get them, you know, my parent code and cancel that recurring subscription and every other thing. So yeah, that you sign up for these things and you think it's like, oh, it's harmless. It's $4.99. They just wanted to do this. Read the fine print. Read the fine print on all that stuff, because you'll find them popping up on your credit card months, years later, and they just keep charging you.
Yeah, I found out that I had been like getting charged, I think it was like $39 twice a year for some website that
Boston
was like
Sports some Journal.
No, I've got that. No, that I just got charged this morning, as a matter of fact, for a Boston Sports Journal account. Here's Kendrick Perkins, by the way. Here's what he was talking about that.
The thing is, listen to this, Cass. I hate video games. Okay, my kids drive me crazy with it. I do not indulge. Like, they drive me crazy because in my house is nothing but Fortnite. I get my credit card bill back, right? I go to the store. I go to buy some credit card decline. I'm like, what I have to use is I just paid it. Come to find out, I got $16,000 worth of Fortnite bills on my credit card. Ever since then, I was like, you know what? I'm cool on Fortnite. I do not indulge in video games.
How much?
$16,000.
Oh, $16,000, not $30, but still, that's an ass load of money.
Oh my God.
By the way, somebody said you can get a gift card on Amazon. It goes, we'll send you a code. They have no control of your card. I learned that after I left the card on the computer once and got screwed. Someone said my daughter was crying the other day because she was bullied on that Roblox thing, and they said that she was poor. She's 8. So I guess there's like discrimination on there, that if you don't have like the super cool, you know, jersey or the cool like gun or blaster or something like that, then you are poor. Someone said we only spend $50 a week on the dumb game. I haven't spent anything on the game. They said too much time with them, so it's virtual bullying. If you don't, it's like, you know, the real world. You don't have like the cool clothes and stuff. People are ripping on you.
Oh, it's the worst.
I don't even.
Yeah, how about cable, like your Netflix or like your Comcast or Xfinity? Like, oh, who bought this movie? Who bought that movie? I've been noticing that lately. There's been some charges.
Well, here's what I find out. I find out that, you know, when I'm out working, you know, doing a Revs game, or especially during football season, and I'll be, granted, I'm out of the house for like 9 hours a day during football season. There are all kinds of brand new movies being watched in my home without me. And if I did that, do you know how much trouble I would be in? Even a movie that she doesn't want to see. If I watched like a new release that just came on demand without her, it happens all the time in my absence. Now, I don't expect, you know, them to like sit there and just, you know, wait by the door to see my headlights in the driveway. But it doesn't work the same way. I can't watch movies without her.
That's right.
I hear about
it
afterward.
The same way.
I go to watch one the other night. It's like, oh, I saw that. I'm like, really? Well, oh, good for you. I must have been working.
Well, what just real quick back to what I was going to tell you is that, you know, we were talking about that PGA game that we're going to be giving away soon. Did you see that there's that company that now sells, they're called Arcade 1-Up. I've talked about them before. They sell like three-quarter the size.
Oh, yeah. I looked them up after I heard you guys talking about them, yeah.
Oh, they have a Golden Tee one, Hardy. And it's awesome. It's got like four different Golden Tee games, and it looks and plays just like the one in the arcade. It's just what, about like a foot or maybe a foot and a half shorter, but you can get a riser that makes it almost the same size. But they have a Golden Tee one that I don't know if you were ever a Golden Tee guy, but the Golden Tee thing was like whenever I used to do like bar appearances and stuff like that, you know, in between going on the mic and giving away stuff or whatever like that, like Golden Tee was my savior. I would just go there and just kill that thing. Like that's a game I could spend hours playing, no problem.
Yeah, I did this once before, and I know you already bought one, right? Didn't you? Or do you have a couple of them now?
So I have three. I've got Street Fighter 2, I've got Marvel versus Capcom, and I've got Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those are the those are the three that I have. So very highbrow material that I have in my home.
Okay, so here is my fear, and maybe you can back me up on this, because I did own a full-size arcade Galaga machine when I lived in Vegas. It was right there in the living room.
I do have a full-size Tron machine that my wife got me years ago. Okay. And that's the real one. That's the real deal one that's in the arcade. So
let me ask you something. How often do you find yourself playing these games?
Okay, so when I had the Tron machine, like I had this tiny apartment, and the Tron machine was like in the living room, which was awesome.
Right.
So I never played it unless company came over, and then all the time it was on.
Right.
Like when like friends came over, like we would turn it on. But yeah,
and
no,
you make a lot of money too. You tell them to bring their quarters, and you know,
that's the only way to do it. You know,
bitch at the end of the night.
Nobody rides for free in my house.
Right.
So when friends came over, we would always fire that thing up and get drunk and play Tron because we were the coolest guys in the block. No, now never. Now I hardly ever play it. Ever.
So here's my fear of having like not just an extra pair of headphones laying around that I don't really use. This is an arcade machine that now you have to do something with. You know, you don't feel right like putting it out on the curb. You wouldn't. It's, you know, got value to somebody or something, but not to you. And it's huge, and it's right there in your home. That's what I don't want.
If you got like a den or something, I mean, it actually looks kind of cool. Like it's the same artwork and everything. Like there's a new NBA Jam one.
Mike Brady in my den?
Yeah. I mean, having an NBA Jam machine looks kind of cool. I got no problem with that. You know, people have like pop a shot and things. You know, it's like you don't play it a ton, but it's there when you have friends over. I don't think that they look bad. I think they actually look all right. Sometimes I just turn them all on and just like turn off the light like I'm in an arcade. You know, like, ooh, yes. Oh my goodness gracious!
Put in that Yankee candle that is the BO and Marlboro Light scent. Create that arcade ambiance.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So yeah, that NBA Jam one is awesome because you can actually play people from all around the country as well. So you know you don't feel like a total loser. All right, so caller number 10 right now. Do we do this now, Dan? Because it's all right. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a copy of PGA Tour 2K21 for PS4, Xbox One. Play against the pros, play with your crew in PGA Tour 2K21. You can play by the rules or create your own. Now available at pgatour.2k21.com. Caller 10, 617-931-0985, and we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy and Joe in the studio, and check us out. So if it shakes out It shakes out this way, if I'm not mistaken. So tonight and tomorrow, you have the Bruins.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, the Celtics. And then every other day, you go Bruins, Celtics, Bruins, Celtics, Bruins, Celtics until Wednesday, where if the Bruins need a game seven, it will be back-to-back with Tuesday's game. That, my friend, is a sports carnival right there coming at you every single day. I love it when they do the back, you know, the back and forth instead of two on the same day. This is going to be phenomenal. And then you got the tip off on Thursday, which should be nice. But you've got a little bit of an issue right now with the Bruins. I mean, as far as they're concerned, so you've got Yaroslav Halak, who's, you know, been pretty good. He's undefeated since taking over Tuukka Rask, but now he's about to get a pretty big test. So will he be able to go back-to-back today and tomorrow? And is that something that Cassidy is going to want to do? I mean, after all, you know, we've learned that with Tuukka Rask gone, the only other choice would be to start Dan Vladar, or Vladash, as we learned yesterday, a guy who has yet to play his first NHL game. Cassidy was asked about that yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
Too early to tell. Last night was a busy night for Yaro. I thought as it went on, he responded well. Took the day off today, the ice, so that will help him recover. Let's get through the game tomorrow night. I said it before with Vladar. He competes in practice every day. Just signed a new deal. Happy for him. But at the end of the day, I think it'll be a decision we probably make Wednesday morning and see where Yaro's at physically and have Danny prepare Tuesday night.
Okay, first of all, he said Vladar, so it's Vladar. I'm going to go with what Bruce Cassidy says. And second of all, dude, you got to play Halak back-to-back. I mean, you can't put a guy whose first game ever in the NHL is going to be in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? You can't do that, can you?
No.
No.
No, of course not. And you have to put Halak in there and see how he responds. And it's not just so much this, like, this first back-to-back. It's the... I guess it's seeing how he's going to respond to so much workload in such a short amount of time. The back-to-back is obviously the first of what's going to be a longer test, but it's so many games and so many days. And, you know, during the regular season, you know, especially with the Bruins always seem to start with, you know, that they've got that flurry of games up front. They'll play a back-to-back like in the first, you know, 2-3 days, it seems like they're playing, and then they get 6 days off. You know, that's how yeah. every regular season begins for the Bruins. Now you've got Halak in there who is not used to being the guy day to day, but he isn't getting any breather. He gets nothing. He's going to be going at it. So the back-to-back, and they make a good point. Whenever they bring it up, there's no travel. You know, there's nothing to worry about in that regard. You know, you're sleeping in the same spot, and the routine is there, and you're there anyway, so you might as well play hockey. It's just the sheer number of games over the course of time. So back-to-back, first interesting test, but you it's Halak. Of course it's Halak. It has to be Halak.
Although it was weird hearing Cassidy actually say that that's something that they would consider. I mean, I guess he has to, because you can't just say, all right, this is the guy, and then what if, you know, for some reason Halak absolutely gets shelled? Even then, like, can you ever pull Halak? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, a lot of times you have a serviceable backup. But let's say that, you know, we've seen it happen in the playoffs before. I mean, we you know, Luongo, everyone remembers that back in the day. He ended up getting pulled. But think about that. Like, let's say Halak gets in there, and in the first period, you know, bang, bang, 4 goals in the first 10 minutes. Like, can you pull Halak?
Yeah, I mean,
you can't.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe to give him reps in the third period. I mean, at some point, like, if the game got out of hand, you'd probably give him a look. The back-to-back, we talked about this with Rask was here. Would they go Yaro? They didn't. It worked out. Well, actually, they lost that game if you really think about it. But overall here, I wouldn't go with that kid whatsoever. It's Yaro Halak the rest of the way unless there's an injury or a blowout.
All right. Well, let's get to Joe Murray's headlines. And when we get back, everything's about as awful as it can be with the Red Sox. And there was a story that came out yesterday that just... get ready to implode. If you're a fan of the Red Sox, this is the last thing you want to hear. So we will get to that right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.